Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. We begin a brand new Masechta, Maseches Avodah Zarah. Okay, says the Mishnah, Lifnei Ideihin, Shaloi Dekichav, Mishloi Shayamim. So in this Mishnah, we're going to learn that one is meant to avoid providing an idol worshiper with an opportunity to have reason to go and thank and express appreciation to his Avodah Zarah for his successful business endeavor, etc. So one is to make sure that Lifnei Idein here is a reference to the Goyish holiday. Okay, so if it's immediately prior, right? It's a couple of days prior to that celebration. Lifnei Idein Shleiv Dekichav. So prior to the holidays of the Oidei Kechav, of the idol worshippers, Shloish HaYamim, within 3 days of that holiday, Asur Laseis V'Laseis Imoim. One is not meant to conduct any business transactions with them, lest they experience success and go thank their idol. What else must we refrain from doing with them? Lash Ilan, to loan them items. Lishol Mehen, to loan from them. What's wrong with doing the second part? They're lending us. So some learn, because that gives him a feeling of superiority, that the Yid has to avail himself to his service. He feels proud, he feels satisfied in that. That too, perhaps, will encourage him to go thank his Avodah Zarah. Lal Vaisan, what is that meant? To lend them money, Vilulvais Mehen, or to borrow from them, Lepiran, to pay back a debt to them, Lefloray Mehen, allow them to pay their debts back to you. Now Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with this last item. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what's wrong with letting the guy pay up his debt? Nefrayin Mehen. We can accept debt payment from them, even though it's right around the time of the holiday. Upnesha Meitzurulai, because it's distressing to the guy. He feels bad having laid out all this money. That's not a reason for Thanksgiving, just the opposite. Amrulai, the Chacham responded, sure, in the moment, perhaps he's sad, but ultimately, in the long run, when that sadness subsides, he's going to feel relieved that he just freed himself of this debt. Even though he's disappointed right now for having had to lay out this money, after a while, after a couple of days, he's going to regain his feeling of joy and happiness. He'll be relieved that he just paid up his debt, and that will encourage him to go thank his Avodah Zarah. So we must not give him that opportunity. The Mishnah began with a reference to these days of celebration as Ideihen. There were two ways to spell that word. Rav Ushmuel, machlokes between these two Amiraim, Chad Toni Ideihen, one had the word spelled with an Aleph, Ideihen, Chad Toni Ideihen, the other one spelled it with an Ayin. Manda Toni Ideihen l'mishtabesh. If you go with the Aleph, it's not making a mistake. Manda Toni Ideihen l'mishtabesh. Likewise, the one who chose the Ayin was not in error, because they can both mean the same thing. Man de toni idein l'mishtabesh, the one that chose the aleph, that can be sourced in a pasuk. Tachsiv ki karev yom edom, the day of the Avodah Zarah's downfall is very close, very near. So edom, spelled with an aleph, denotes Avodah Zarah. Man de toni idein l'mishtabesh, likewise, if it's spelled with an ayin, that too has meaning, and it has a source. Tachsiv yitnu edeim v'yitztiku. Will the Avodah Zarah provide edus, or provide testimony to defend the goyim? So we see edeim is a reference to Avodah Zarah. Asks the Gemara, uman detoni edeim, my time alitoni edeim. The one that chose the aleph, why not the ayin? If they both have proper sources, why did he prefer the aleph? Amar lach, he says, Tavra adaf, I prefer with the aleph, which is rooted in that pasuk, referring to the downfall and destruction of Avodah Zarah. So the breaking of Avodah Zarah, that's a better reference, that's a better point of reference. Umman de Tani Idein, the one that chose it with the ayin, my taima, le Tani Idein, why not with the aleph? Amar lach, he tells you like this. It's a two-step process. Man ka garam lu tavra. Sure. The other pasuk describes the Avodah Zarah's destruction and downfall. What brought it about? What caused that? It was preceded by an edus, by that testimony, she'idu ba'atzman, that the idols, or the Avodah Zarah themselves, testified against themselves. So the Avodah Zarah testified against the worshippers, so that facilitated the ultimate destruction and the Tavra of the Avodah Zarah and of the Goyim who adhered to them. So, Hilkach Edus Adifa, I prefer, referring to the Edus, the Pasuk, describing the Avodah Zarah testifying against its worshippers, which is the cause for the ultimate downfall. Asks the Gemara, how could you say that the Pasuk of Yitnu Edeya is a reference to the Avodah Zarah testifying, V'ha Yitnu Edeyam, V'yitztuku Bo'evdi Kechavim Ksiv? Is it in fact a reference to the Goyim? Habi Yisrael Ksiv, actually, it's referring to Klal Yisrael, where the mitzvahs are going to testify on our behalf. The Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kol mitzvahs, She Yisrael Oysen Bail Mazeh, all the mitzvahs that we do in this world, the mitzvahs themselves will testify on our behalf. Bois Umi'idois Lahem Bail Mazeh, in Elul Haba, they will come, defend us, advocate for us. Shanemar Yitnu Eidem Yitztuku Elu Yisrael. The first part of the pasuk is, of course, a reference to Yisrael, that the mitzvahs will testify on our behalf and prove us to be righteous. The second part, Yishmu V'yemru Emes, that in fact is going on the Goyim, who will reluctantly acknowledge to the fact that we were successful in keeping the mitzvahs and deserve our reward. Yishmu b'yamr emes elu avgichav. So clearly, according to this interpretation of the pasuk, it's not relating to the goyim. Quite the contrary. Yitnu edeim v'yitztuku is all about us and our mitzvahs. Elo amar afunu b'yishua, we have to find an alternate source for the ayin, for the edein with the ayin, in reference to Avodah Zarah. Man damar edein mihacha. The one that's going with the ayin is based on the pasuk of Yoytre Pesach Kulam Toyev Hamudeim Balu Ilu VeEdeim Hema. Rashi says here, certainly, the edus refers to Avodah Zarah. Rashi says Avodas Kecham Tavoy VeToyit Alevdei Lachayva. The idols themselves will turn around and testify against its own worshippers and incriminate them. Okay, so in conclusion, the Mishnah tells us keep away from dealing with the idol worshippers within 3 days of Edeyan, of the days of Avodah Zarah celebrations. It's either with an Aleph, based on the Pasuk, Kikarav Yem Edom, or the Ayin, based on the Edus, which will incriminate the Goyim. Either way, it's sort of a derogatory reference to Avodah Zarah, just, different angles. Dorash Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papa, V'itema Samsei Rabbi Simloi, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Lasad Loving, in the days to come, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sefer Torah, Hashem will take the Sefer Torah, or Manicha Bichayka, and grab the Sefer Torah in his chest, hold on to the Sefer Torah, so to speak, and declare as follows, Va'imer, call me, or let me, She'asak Ba, anybody, all those who were involved in Torah, in maintaining a Torah true life, and learning Torah, Yavai, Vito Schari, come, it's reward time, it's payday. So who's coming quickly? All the goyim will scramble together. Miyad miskapsin uvoin, oydikicham birvivya. In disarray, they're all coming and running, thinking they're deserving of schar. Shneamar kol hagoyim nikpsu yachdav. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem tells them, okay, listen, one at a time. Just in a straight line, I'll deal with one at a time. Al tichnesu lefanai biravuvia. Don't come all, you know, mixed up. El tekanes. See, the Mefarshim explained that the reason why they're coming in disarray is to sort of make a point that it wasn't just the Jews who built up the world. It's everybody played a part. Everybody had a role. Everybody shared the world's success. And we all deserve an equal share in that ultimate reward. So that's why they're coming. It's in the Sefer Tachas Ben Yom. Interesting. Hashem responds, no. I want to deal one at a time. Okay? The Kol Kol Uma V'Uma, every nation on its own, coming separately, with its leaders, with its wise men. Shenemar V'Yasfu. V'Yasfu L'Umim. So all the nations separately. Vein L'Um El Malchus. L'Um means a Malchus, a kingdom, a government. Shenemar. This was the Pasuk describing the ultimate struggle between good and bad, between the Malchus of Esav and Rome and the Malchus of Yisrael. Ul'Oim. Every one nation will try to outdo the other one, vanquish the other one. Lo'im, lo'im yematz. So lo'im is a reference to a malchus. Okay, one at a time. Umi ikar revuvia kamek adosh baruch. What's the big deal? They're coming in disarray. Why does that affect the way Hashem will deal with them? Rashi says, Hashem can just scan them all at once. It doesn't matter whether lined up in an organized fashion or in a disorganized fashion. The point is to benefit them, to give them a fair chance at trial. But they shouldn't, you know, mix up with each other. They stand separately, one at a time. They have the opportunity to properly comprehend and absorb what Hashem is going to be telling them. And this will give them the fair opportunity to defend themselves. Okay, so who's up first? So the Romans come in first. Why first? My time is Mishum Dechashiva, they're the most prominent of all powers. Umron Dechashiva, how do we know that they're on top of the list? Dechsiv, this was by the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel deciphered it, and it was an image of four animals, and the first one was Rome. Vatoichel kol Arab, Tadishunev, Tadukun, Tadukina, it dominated the world, it ate up the world, chewed up the world. Varav Yechon, who's that? Zurai Michayevis, that's the guilty Romans. Shetiva Yatzim Chol Olam, whose dominance spread throughout the world. Western civilization, right? The Rabban says we were taken into Gaulus, the last and final Gaulus, by the Romans. And although the ancient Romans aren't necessarily running the world anymore, but any power that is the dominant superpower today, it's America, Europe, Western civilization run the world. There's sort of spiritual incarceration. The Gilgal of Malchus Roimi were under the dominance of Rome, Western civilization. So they're going to be the first one up for trial. Says the Gemara, Manolan demandachash of Ayel Bereisha. How do we know that in fact the most prominent gets the opportunity to be judged first? Because Rav Chizda tells us, Melech v'tzibur, when there's a king with the community being judged, who gets the first opportunity? Melech nichnas tchila, first the king is judged, the din, he goes first into the din. Shenemar, the pasuk, which was said by Shlomi HaMelech, says, Lasois mishpat avdoi, Mishpat Am Yisrael, Hashem, you'll carry out the Mishpat to the Eved, meaning myself, Shlomi HaMelech, the king, and then afterwards followed by the Am Yisrael. But time am I, why in fact is the king first and then followed by his nation? Ibo Yisema, for two reasons. One is, Lav Oirach Ara, it's not respectful, it's not proper. L'meisav Malkam Avroi, the king should be sitting outside waiting until, you know, the whole nation is taken care of. So first he goes, so he has a short wait time. Another reason for that is because trying to protect him from the anger that might have get generated by when the inequities of the people are exposed. So he's going to be blamed as a leader. He's going to be blamed for everybody's, you know. So therefore he goes in first to spare him. Okay, in any case, Rome is at first. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said Hashem to them, okay, first question. B'maya sakta. What were you busy with throughout all the years? Anything good to speak of? Amrim lefanav, they said, sure, we built up the world for the Jews. Harbei, Rebbein Shalem, Harbei Shvakim Teknina, we established all the marketplaces, stock market, booming stock market, perfect place for panosa, right? The fish markets, the everything. Harbor Machatzois, Asinu, all the Walmarts, all the Marchatzois, all the bathhouses. Harbor Kesef Vezover Binu. Look, we printed gold and printed currency. We gathered, amassed gold and silver. And it's all for the Jews. V'kulam loy Asinu el b'shvi Yisrael. They knew the truth, right? B'shvi Yisrael, everything is b'shvi Yisrael. Ultimately, it's for Klal Yisrael and the Torah. Of course, we serve them well, so that they should be free to learn Torah. We paved the roads for them. We made the airports. They should just ask about Torah. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaitim Shemayim, you foolish people. You know it's not true. You know you had personal interest in mind, nothing more. Kol Masha Isisim, anything you accomplished, L'tzorich Atzmachem Asisim, was only for your benefit. Tekantum Shvakim, you made the markets. L'Oish Ben Zoyinus, to have the Zoyinus sitting there. Merchatzoy is the bathhouses. To enjoy. L'Adem Ben Atzmachem, to enjoy yourself in those places. Kesef Azov Shaliyu, in terms of gold and silver. You know, ultimately, Parnassah comes from Hashem, so you may have made the effort, but the ultimate success came from me. Shanam Aliyah Kesef, Liyah Zobnu, Hashem says, gold and silver is mine. Hashem Tzvakis. Okay, so that's out of the way. What about spiritual matters? Klum Yesh Bachem Magid Zois, anyone amongst you who can declare any sort of adherence and commitment and loyalty to Torah. Shenamar mi b'chem yagid zois. Anybody can say some Torah. And zois means the Torah. Vein zois el Torah. As the pasuk says, shenamar v'zois ha-Torah. Asher sam Moshe. So zois refers to the Torah. Anybody amongst you who connected to Torah and kept the mitzvahs? Of course, the answer is no, and they just turned around and left. Miyad. Right away, yotzu pachin nefesh, they turned around and left. The courtroom, crestfallen. Okay, they lost the case. They don't deserve any schar. Okay, who's next up? That's the Persians. Second most important power in the world, the Iranians. Yatzas, Malchus Rome, Rome left. V'nichnas Malchus Paras, Achrea, in comes Paras. My time, and why are they second? The Chashiva Basra, because they're the second in terms of importance in that dream of Daniel, right? The second animal that he saw. Umanol, how do we know the Chsiv? Varu, Cheva, that's the animal. Achre, Tinyan, the second animal. Damiladoiv. It appeared like a bear. And that represents the Persians and the Persians' way of life. V'tanu Rav Yosef, Elo Parsim, these are the Persians. Sha'ichlin, Mishaisen Kadai. They eat gluttonously like a bear. Mesurbon, Basa Kadai. They're all way down with their heavy flesh. They're heavy like a bear. Umagadlin, Seir Kadai. They run long hair. They allow their hair to grow like a bear. They're restless, like a restless bear. Okay, time to judge the Persians. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem asked them the same question. All throughout the years of Golus, what were your activities? Amrim Lefanav. So again, they had a similar response like the Romans. What do you mean? It's all for the Jews. Rebbeinu Shalom Harbig Yisharim Gosharna. We built all those bridges. We were expert bridge builders. Harbi Krachm Kavashna. We conquered all those cities. Harbi Machamas Asino. All those wars. V'chulam Laisino Moshe Yisrael. They just ask about Torah. Of course, it was all for the benefit of the Yidden to allow them to learn Torah freely. So we facilitated all their Torah by providing for them, by protecting them. Amen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem responds, of course, you know you're wrong. Kol Mashah Asisim. All your accomplishments, all your endeavors was strictly and solely for your own benefit and nobody else. For instance, Tekantem Gesharim, why'd you build those bridges? To set up the toll booths. Litam Mechas. Easy pass, right? Karachim, the cities that you established, that you captured, Lasses Memangaria, to press them into government service, to get taxes from people, to have the people work for you. Milchamas and Yassis, in terms of success at war, it's my success, it's not yours. Shnei Ma'ashem Yish Milcham. So, no credit for that. What about spiritual matters? What about the Torah? Klum yesh b'chem magid zois. Anybody amongst you who are involved in Torah and zois? Shnei ma mi b'chem magid zois. And zois, of course, as we said, is the Torah. Vein zois ala Torah. Shnei ma zois ala Shnei Moshe. Of course, there was no response. Miyad yotzu l'fanu pachin nevesh. They turned around and left very disappointed. Asks the Gemara, why did they even try once they saw that Romans were not successful in their efforts? V'chim acha de chazes machos paras. If the Persians had already seen Lamachos Roim and the Romans, all their arguments did not get them anywhere. My time, Ayla, why'd they even try? Why'd they even go in? Amr, they figured, we have an advantage over them. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and we facilitated its rebuilding, right? Kairish, in terms of the second Beis HaMikdash, right? Amr, they said, look, Inu, the Romans, Sasri Beis HaMikdash. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Vanam Banino, we built it. So they figured they have a crack at it, and of course, they weren't successful. V'chein, the same exact experience would repeat itself by, you know, all the nations down on the list, the Chaluma v'Uma. And the question again is, why would they even try? V'chein achad achazel kamoi. So the later nations, once they saw that the earlier ones, the Romans and the Persians, were not very successful in their efforts, the achazel kamoi, they saw the earlier ones, le'man le'mi, their arguments were not very effective. Why did they even try? My time, ma'ayli. The answer is they figured, Savri Hanach Ishtabdu Bubi Yisro. Ultimately, the Romans and the Persians, they exiled the Yidden, they were Meshabed, they subjugated them. Meshabdu Ishtabdu Bubi Yisro. But we, the Chinese, the Indians, we weren't guilty of that. Va'anan Lishabana Bubi Yisro. So they figured, they have one up. In any case, ultimately, nobody was deserving of Schar because nobody did the Torah like the Jews did. Asks the Gemara, but why did we only bother mentioning the first two, the Romans and the Persians, unlike the other ones, which were just, you know, unnamed, left unnamed? Maishnahani dechashivi, why were these given prominence and named and, you know, described in detail? Maishnahani dechashivi, as opposed to the other nations, who are not given that status. Lechashivi lehu. Says the Gemara, the reason is mishum dahanach, because what's unique about the Romans, the Edom, and the Persians, the Hanach Mashri Machusayo, their influence, their dominance, will endure until the very last moment, until Mashiach comes, right? Like we see today, the most dominant forces in the world now is the Westerns, the Western civilization, the, you know, the Americans, the Europeans, and then we have the Iranians and their cronies, right? So very strong forces until the very end, they're going to be there. Ad Asim Mashiach. In fact, Tosfos brings a Gemara in Sanhedrin that actually, Asid Poras Shetibo Biad Roimi. The Persians will be subjugated to the Romans. So the West will prevail over Poras. But Tosfos says that's only very close to Bias HaMashiach, where it says there that Asid Malchus Roimi, the Roimis will be fully dominant on the entire world for 9 months. Shetiv Shet Al Kol Olam Putisha Chadosh. So basically, the last, very last Malchus will be the Romans, but until almost the very end, the Persians will also have a strong say in world affairs. So in any case, that's why we bothered, you know, discussing only these two, not the rest. Okay, so once we're at this point, that they're not really deserving of Schar because they didn't do much to deserve it, still, they turned to Hashem, Rabbanu Shleilam, Klum Nasata Lono, V'lo Kiblal Nuha. How could you blame us for not keeping the Torah? Did you give it to us? Did you ever give us a Torah? And you know, had us reject it? Meaning you never gave us a Torah. That's why we didn't keep it. Really? Says the Lord. Omi Matzi. L'meimar, how could even attempt such a claim? Voksiv, the Pasuk says that Hashem made his rounds, Kaviyachal, and tried offering everybody the Torah. They didn't accept it. It was their choice. Vayimra Hashem is Sinai Bo, Vizorach is Seir. Seir is Edom, right? Lomay. Voksiv will come Tem and Yavoy. It says, Mar Paran. Rashi says, Har Paran is Eretz Yishmol, the Arabs. He offered it to the Romans, to the Arabs, right? My boy Seir, and the question, obvious question is, why? What's Hashem doing coming back from Seir? My boy Paran, what about Paran or Rabbi Yochanan? Exactly that. He went around offering it to everybody. Hashem offered the Torah to every nation. They rejected it. Until he came to Yisrael, we accepted it. So you're to blame for not accepting it. Don't blame Hashem. Rather, this is what they were saying. Klum kibal nuah. Did we not adhere to the Torah after we accepted it, meaning we never committed to it. Of course we didn't keep it. Why are we to blame? Says the Gemara, well, that exactly is their undoing. I mean, so you're acknowledging that you didn't accept it. That breaks their argument. Yeah, so exactly that. Why didn't you accept it? My Lord, come out to us. What are they saying? Rather, this is what they tell Hashem. If only you would have forced us, twisted our arm like you did to Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah, we also would have accepted the Torah. Klum kafisa leinu hakegigas? Did you then impose the mountain upon us like a barrel, like you did to Klal Yisrael? Did you force us? Kibelnu, and then we didn't accept it? You didn't do that to us. We would have accepted it. Kemo shasisa liYisrael, like you did to the Jews, achsiv vayisyatzu b'tach tzar, they established themselves beneath the mountain. What does beneath the mountain mean? Exactly this. V'divi barchama. Melamed, we learn, Shekafa al HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKegigas, al Yisrael Hashem hung the mountain over the Jewish nation and told them, listen, you better keep the Torah, you better accept it. V'amar lehem, im atem mekabelin, es haTorah mutar, you accept the Torah, great. V'imlav, otherwise, Sham teikurasam, you'll be buried right there. The Parshim asks, well, Klal Yisrael already accepted the Torah with Nasa v'nishma, why was this extra added step necessary? So Tosfos I think a different mepharshim say that Torah Shebaal Peh we committed to with Nasa Menishma, but the Torah Shebachsav oral Torah, yeah, Nasa Menishma, we accepted it, but the Torah Shebaal Peh, the vast, very challenging Torah Shebaal Peh, that was the scary part. There was some hesitation there, and Hashem had to sort of push us into that and have us accept it in this manner. So yeah, so this is their argument. Look, if you would have pushed us into it, we too would have accepted it. Okay, Miyad, Oyim LaMakadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem responds like this. Look, you're saying you would have? Okay, let's take a look at what you did commit to. Let's take a look and see how you fared with your existing obligations, the seven Noahide laws that you had committed to, that you were obligated to keep, right? Let's take a look at the early ones, your earlier obligations, and see how you did on those. Which means those Sheva mitzvahs, those seven mitzvahs, Shekibaltem, those you did accept. Heichan kiyamtem. Did you really keep them? Of course not. So, yeah. You have a pretty weak record on that. You can't claim that you would have kept 613. How do we know that they didn't adhere to those seven? The Tani, Rav Yosef, the Pasuk says, Amad vayimoided eretz, ra vayater goyim. Hashem released the goyim, relieved them. What does that mean? My ra, what do you see? What does Hashem see? Ra, Zayin mitzvahs. Shekiblo alein b'nei noich v'leikim. We saw that those seven mitzvahs, b'nei noich, they didn't even bother keeping those. Kibash leikim, once they weren't keeping it, Amad v'yitiran lahen. So he freed them. He relieved them of their obligations. Says the Gemara, itgur. So they're just going to gain, meaning just because they weren't keeping those seven mitzvahs, that relieves them of any responsibility to keep them. If so, you have a sinner benefiting from his sin that doesn't work. No, of course they're still obligated and they must keep them, otherwise they'll be punished. But when it says that Hashem relieved them, it means to say he took away any opportunity to earn reward on fulfilling those mitzvahs. Loimar to tell us, even if they'll keep the mitzvahs, ein mekablin aleim schar, they will not get rewarded for those mitzvahs. Really? Beloy? Hatanya hayor meyoyimer meyor taught us, minayin shafiloyit kilchavim. How do we know that even a guy, he's a guy, he's studying Torah. And Tosfos says it means those topics relating to the Sheva mitzvahs. He learns chayshem mishpat, right? To know how to be honest and to refrain from gezel. In that sense, he's learning the Torah on the level of a Kohen Gadol, highest level. How do we know Talmud Leimer? Asher Yasa Oisam Ha'odam V'chai Bohem. Any man, any human being, even a guy, can absorb the Torah on the highest level. Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim. It doesn't say Dafka Kehan will be in Israel. No, it doesn't say that. Ella, it says, Ha'adam, mankind, any person. Halamata, we learn from here. Shafilu, Oyvet Kehan, even a God, you learn in Torah. Harika, going Godel. So, of course, he gets Schar. Why are you saying that he is deprived of any opportunity to get reward? Atesis, by the way, asks, typically we say, Atam Kurim Adam, the term Adam refers only to Klal Yisrael and not to Goyim. So he says, Rabbeinu Tam says, Yesh l'chalak ben Adam l'ha Adam. When it's a hey, on top of the Adam, refers to a broader range, even the Goyim. In any case, certainly they get schar. How could you say they're deprived of that? Ella, rather, loim lach to tell you, she'en mekavlin aleim schar. They get schar, but a minimal schar, a low-level schar. They don't get the schar on the level of kimetzuva v'ois, like a person who's commanded to do. And then he's confronted by the Yetzirah and has to pull through all those challenges because Yetzirah challenges when you have mitzvah, when you're obligated. So that schar that you earn, mitzvah v'oisa, he's mitzvah and does, it's a higher level of schar. They don't get that. Elo k'misha'ena mitzvah v'oisa, certainly they can get schar. But it's as though they're doing it on a volunteer basis, which is a much lower level of reward. Damar chanina shabani toras, godal mitzvah v'oisa, the schar, the reward, granted to one who fulfills a mitzvah that he's commanded to do is greater. Yoiser, Mishaina mitzvah yoiser, the one who does it voluntarily. So, the goyim must keep their mitzvahs, and they get einish if they don't. But in terms of schar, it's a very minimal schar. In fact, the Rambam actually writes that a goy will only be considered, for schar if he does it l'shem shemayim, not just, for personal reasons, personal benefit, but out of a feeling of justness and fairness, but he must have Hashem in mind that he's doing it, to pursue, a spiritual quest and the fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem, and then he gets some level of schar. Okay, so we left it off sort of mid conversation. We'll pick it up again tomorrow, B'ezras Hashem. In a nutshell, we had the halacha in the Mishnah. We must make an effort to avoid giving the goy opportunity of thanking his avodah zarah for his success. We have the Edayin, which is sort of a bazillion derogatory reference to the avodah zarah, whether it's from the pasuk Karev Yom Edom, describing their downfall, or Ve'edayim Hema, that they're going to testify against themselves and bring about their downfall. And that will happen Lasad Lavai, as the Gemara went on to describe the exchange between Hashem and the Goyim. He's going to be taking them to task for what they did and what they didn't do. Turns out it was just all self-serving, nothing spiritual in their endeavors, certainly nothing to do with the Torah mitzvahs, which they rejected, which they didn't bother accepting, and as we concluded, even the Sheva Mitzvahs, they were not known to be too careful about, as opposed to Kal Yisrael, who are certainly deserving of Schar Lasad Lavoi for our tremendous mysterious nefesh and efforts that we put into keeping the Torah Mitzvahs throughout the very long and difficult and challenging Golas. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.